VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. You know, I can remember some decades ago, a series that was produced, hosted by Francis Schaeffer and C. Everett Koop. It was entitled, it was a question, Whatever Happened to the Human Race? And they warned about the culture at that time. They warned about the culture of death in our society, discussing that abortion would lead to infanticide and this would lead to euthanasia. Now, many mocked such a notion that abortion would actually lead to euthanasia. Not here, many would say. And in today's language, they'd say, no, they're being alarmist. They're being right-wing extremist. And lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly where we are in our culture today. However, what was called euthanasia and then physician-assisted suicide, you know, we can continue to soften terms. Mercy killing, death with dignity, and that we're hearing more of medical aid in dying. But friends, did you know that legislation is being drafted as we speak today for federal funding of assisted suicide? It's H.R. 8173. It's legislation to provide exceptions to the restrictions described in the Assisted Suicide Funding Restriction Act of 1997. Friends, this is another move down the slippery slope. The slope that we were warned about by the likes of Francis Schaeffer and C. Everett Koop, down the slippery slope as we advance toward this practice that is now fully being carried out in countries like Belgium and Netherlands and in Canada. Joining us today, we welcome to Crosstalk Brad Mattis. He is the president of Life Issues Institute, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is a host of Life Issues, a daily radio commentary, also the weekly Straight Talk on Life Issues, has produced numerous radio specials, Standing for Life. Brad, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Brad, just before we plunge into what's happening in this area of euthanasia, I know we just had another sentencing this week. A very harsh sentence being handed down to pro-lifers in the past week or so. We're seeing criminals, you know, in our society today with smash and grab and carjackings and any number of offenses getting nothing but a slap on the wrist, posting no bail, back on the streets within hours. Yet those who have stopped, entrance into an abortion clinic by sitting peacefully in front of a door, receiving years in prison. I mean, we're living in a culture that is pushing for things to be equitable. Brad, where and how is this equitable?
Well, it's all coming from the Biden administration, Jim, and the so-called Department of Justice. There's no justice at all. There are over 90 cases of attacks, terrorist attacks on pro-life centers and organizations and churches, and very few arrests, and yet they're putting their crosshairs on peaceful pro-lifers. Now, the Justice Department recently announced they are suing an organization, two organizations, and seven individuals. One of those organizations is Red Rose Rescue. Now, their crime that deserves tens of thousands in fines and years in prison is that they go into abortion facilities, they pass out red roses to the mothers of unborn babies waiting to abort their children. Attached to the rose is a note of care, hope, love, and alternatives to abortion. And they are the ones that are being persecuted by the Biden administration. They are couching them as violent when they are nowhere near violence. All of them say they refuse to conduct any violence. But this is what we're seeing. We are seeing a crusade against the pro-life movement. We're seeing a crusade against what Biden perceives as his political enemies and political opponents.
Right. Friends, it's sad what is going on here in our culture today, and the things that are happening with abortion. It's my opinion, Brad, we're going to see these happening within euthanasia and those who are standing against taking life at the other end of the spectrum.
You're right. And Dr. Wilkie and I were one of those that talked about decades ago about
yes.
We would often say that euthanasia follows abortion just as night follows day. And our own people, our own pro-life colleagues, Jim, poo-pooed us and said, no, you're, as you, you couched it very, very good. They're the radical right or extremists and stuff. And sure enough, it is happening, and we are seeing documented case after case.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention to euthanasia. And, Brad, I received a Life Issues Today alert regarding legislation introduced in the House of Representatives, H.R. 8137. We know it's still being drafted right now. The language is not being posted yet on the congressional websites, but we understand it has an intended goal of allowing federal funding for assisted suicide. What can you tell us about this?
Well, a law was passed in 97 that would prohibit any tax funding for anything of euthanasia-assisted suicide, anything associated with that. Now, what they are doing is they are actually redefining medical aid in dying. And what they said is it's an authorized medical practice, it is not euthanasia, mercy killing, or assisted suicide. So this is coming from the people who cannot tell you what a woman is, mm-hmm. and they are redefining the term medical aid in dying to not include assisted suicide, euthanasia, or mercy killing, which would open up the floodgates. See, they want to get their hands on the purse strings of Medicaid and Medicare. And once they have that, they are going to have federal funding, and they are going to be able to kill many more people as a result.
You know, how is that for language manipulation, Brad? I mean, saying, okay, I'm holding up an orange. This orange is not really an orange. It's an apple. And that's really what they're doing here. You know, medical aid in dying, this authorized medical practice, it's not euthanasia. It's not mercy killing. It's not assisted suicide. That's exactly what it is.
And it's very blatant. And we as a people need to stand up and voice our opposition to this, primarily when we go to vote.
Yeah. Friends, again, this is H.R. 8137. I will be providing you a number for Congress here where you can touch base with your legislators. But, Brad, we understand supposedly this would only be triggered when a terminally ill adult has less than 6 months to live, request a prescription to take their life. But we don't know when death's going to occur. How many times have we been, you know, people said, oh, you have so much to live, and years later they're still living and doing well.
Yes, and I don't mean to belittle that situation, but we have seen those guidelines put into every assisted suicide bill in all the 10 states where it's legalized, and they have quickly eliminated those guidelines. The Oregon's gotten rid of the terminal description. They are now looking at ending the lives of people who are poor and disabled, those who are children. I mean, it's ridiculous for them to even talk about those guidelines, because we've seen every single time they've just summarily discarded those.
Now, you mentioned that this act that was done, the Suicide Funding Restriction Act, back in 1997, and yet this group you mentioned wants to get their hands on, you know, the Medicare or Medicaid funding for this. We know this is a system that is heading toward bankruptcy. The swelling rolls in Medicaid and Medicare, and we have seen, and we'll be talking about Canada later, but people who have sought medical treatment and said, no, we don't have the funds in Medicaid, Medicare for this. However, if you want, you know, medical aid in dying, we'll be glad to, you know, cover that for you. I mean, isn't that what we can anticipate going to happen here?
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing it time and time again. And in Canada, for instance, they have this. They were so proud of this progressive government-controlled health care. They were up with the progressive Europeans, and now it is running into money problems. And we are hearing stories of people who are poor or disabled give up because they can't get the health care that they're supposed to get. And it is the same thing in Europe. We are seeing cases where the population is aging, and the guy involved with the head of the president of the biggest healthcare fund in Belgium mm-hmm. is saying that money isn't going to help this. We simply don't have enough workers because our population is aging out. And so they're not asking anymore, how long can I live? They're asking, how can I live a quality life.
And, Brian, that's not just going to happen. I mean, look what's happening here. We're crying for more healthcare workers. We don't have them. We have a population that can no longer sustain itself. I mean, when we look at the demographics, we are, you know, at a demographic winter that we're approaching a very, we're going to see an aging population. We're not replenishing ourselves. We're going to go down this very same path.
Yes, and that's exactly what I was about to make a comment. This is being said in Belgium, but we are right behind them. And if you saw an article recently last week, our fertility rate for America is the lowest it's been since 1979. That's 45 years. We are not, as you said, putting people into the workforce to pay those taxes to sustain Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
Yeah, friends, we're killing them in the womb. Brad Mattis with us today from the Life Issues Institute. And again, this H.R. 8137, brand new introduced. They have not put the language up on the website, but the authors of this have been vocal. This would be Democratic Representatives Brittany Pedersen and Scott Peters have been vocal as to what this is going to do, and as trying to give a new definition, a new spin to this. This is medical aid in dying. It's not euthanasia, not mercy killing, not assisted suicide. No, it's medical aid in dying, and wanting to get federal funding for this to take place. As we await the final language to come out on this, friends, you can certainly reach out to your members of Congress and let them know your thoughts on using we're using taxpayer funds now to kill babies in the womb. And friends, it's going to be a natural outgrowth of this to take life at the other end of the age spectrum as well, or those who are going through disabilities. We'll talk about that as well. But let me give you a phone number here for Capitol Hill, which is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, where you may reach out to your member of Congress regarding H.R. 8137. Do you want funds, federal tax dollars, going to this so-called medical aid in dying? Brad, I know that there are a number of states already in the United States that have allowed for assisted suicide or being an accomplice to self-murder. That's really what it is. And I know Oregon was the first state, correct?
Yes, Oregon was the very first state, and now there are 10 in total, including Washington, D.C., and they are California, Colorado, Hawaii, Maine, Montana, by court ruling, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. Thankfully, just last week, I believe it was, the Senate in New Hampshire stopped legislation from passing there, and it would have been pretty radical stuff. There wasn't a requirement that you have to live in the state. And that's one of the problems we're concerned about, Jim, is that Oregon dropped their requirement of residency, and that means that they are throwing out the welcome mat for deaf tourism. And that is what they are saying is increasing dramatically the number of deaths in Oregon. It went up 21% in 1 year.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is our guest today. Our topic is escalating toward euthanasia, even legislation introduced to use tax dollars to bring about so-called medical aid in dying. We'll have more discussion after the break. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we see right-to-life efforts all over the news these days. What does the Bible say about this?
Chris, the Bible is clear. Humankind is created in the image of God with great value and worth in His sight and is to be respected and protected. At conception, the embryo takes on human status, although not yet completely grown. The Bible discusses how the growing embryo as an individual has feelings and on some occasions even expresses itself. When a pregnant woman was injured in Bible times, such that the baby lost its life, there were consequences to be faced. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, but there's enough there to be certain that the unborn child is a viable human person and must be protected. Chris, the back to Genesis way of thinking helps us understand modern issues.
For more on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
Escalating toward euthanasia, our topic today. Brad Mattis is our guest, president of the Life Issues Institute. Their website, lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. Brad, we're talking about this legislation, H.R. 8137, and we're still waiting for the language. We know what the intent is behind it, waiting for the language to get up on the site. The concern is that this would not be handled as just a single piece of legislation all on its own, but really might be tacked on to some other must-pass legislation as like an amendment. That's where the real danger lies, does it not?
It does, and that's what they're proposing to do to this good legislation, is tack on an amendment that basically guts the entire thing. It's more clandestine, less dramatic, less attention-getting. And I think that's why, Jim, we're not seeing final wording, is because they're delaying this until the latest time possible to put this out, to try to make sure that we can't gain momentum to oppose it. And, you know, we have such a small margin of leadership, pro-life leadership in the House, and we are in the minority in the Senate. This is really critical that we watch this and reach out to our elected officials.
Again, friends, a number to your member of Congress is 202-224-3121. You can go to house.gov, get the direct number to their office. The number I gave will take you to a congressional switchboard. Brad, we were talking about Oregon, and every year since Oregon allowed for assisted suicide, the numbers have increased. And I see for 2023, they are now averaging killing one person every single day, some 367 people in 2023. And they're nearing killing 3,000 people since their law passed. And it makes me, you know, I hear those words, we're going to make it safe, legal, and rare, you know, like we heard about abortion. And it's anything but that.
Yeah, you're right. And the thing is when you and I and the listener think of this legislation, we think of terminal within 6 months, and they want to be put out of excruciating pain. Mm-hmm. Well, pain doesn't even make the top reasons. The top reasons people want to have assisted suicide, a 92% cited loss of autonomy, and then 88% listed a less enjoyable life.
Wow.
And 64% said loss of dignity. Well, these are things that we can remedy with support and help. And as a community gets around these people and helps them understand they're not a burden, that there is still life to be enjoyed. And oftentimes, in years gone by, that was done to the church. And now Oregon is the least church state in the nation.
Well, yeah, and look what's happening. You mentioned about not being burdened, and I see that a significant number, over 43%, indicated they're concerned about being a burden on their family, a burden on their friends, or on their caregivers.
Yeah, and we used to think that being a burden was an honor. I mean, to provide for them so that they wouldn't be a burden. It was an honor for us to take care of our older members of our family, to bring them into our homes, to care for them. And that's the Christian mentality and philosophy in Christ says, when you do it to the least of these, you do it for me. And for those of us who live by that, that is not the problem. But when we look, Jim, at the country and how we're falling away, if there's no Christ, there's no love for our fellow man, mm-hmm. there's no helping hand, and those things added together equal suicide.
Last August, your organization, their Life Issues, warned about suicide tourism. You touched on that briefly here just a bit ago before the break, but using telemedicine, using a Zoom call from people around the country to receive a prescription from a state that allows for euthanasia, is that taking place today?
Well, it's beginning to, Jim, and we've seen it, of course, take place largely with the abortion pill, mm-hmm. the abortion industry, and it's just a natural step to take it to doling out a lethal medication. Both of those medications are lethal. One kills babies, this kills the people. And there's all kinds of dangers with that because you've got these dangerous drugs floating out there. Oregon and Washington already don't know or cannot account for scores of prescriptions that have been written and not accounted for. Did the patients take them? Did they not? Did they flush them down the toilet? Are they in a house? Are they accessible by teens or children? We just don't know. And those are problems that we have when you take such important medicine out of the hands of the medical community.
Brad, earlier you gave a listing of states that are allowing for euthanasia. They'll use different terms in it, but we understand that there are yet additional states that are advancing toward this legislatively or perhaps even through referenda.
Yeah, I believe there are 10 more that are looking at legislation like New Hampshire did. And thankfully, California tried to put out an absolutely grotesque advancement to full-blown euthanasia. And even it was too much for even those radicals out there, and they pulled back on that. But yes, these people are tenacious, just like the supporters of abortion. They will not stop until they get their way. And we need to be there to slap them down with their legislation, that is, every time they turn around and push it.
There are also some, as we mentioned, not only what's happening here within the United States, but also rather frightening things happening on this front in our neighbor to the north. We briefly touched on Canada, but what more can you tell us about Canada?
Oh, I could just talk about Canada every day with what's going on there. And I want to tell you about a particular situation that just grieves my heart. There was a quadriplegic man who was injured in an accident, a spine injury in 2022. He went into the emergency room for treatment and was placed on a gurney, not a specialized mattress for somebody who cannot move. He laid on that mattress for 4 days.
My.
And he was not turned every 2 hours that he needed to be. He developed bed sores that were so grotesque and large, I really can't describe it here on family radio, but to the point where they didn't think they could close those wounds anymore. And he opted for suicide because he had been neglected within an emergency room hospital.
Oh, my.
So just because you can get to that physical hospital doesn't mean you're going to get that life saving treatment that you depend upon.
And they've been expanding their laws to usher in more and more people that would qualify under assisted suicide as well, correct?
That's right. And we can point to money, Jim. And the thing is those when government's in control of our lives, they screw it up every time. And healthcare is a shining example up north. And they're running out of money. And so patient after patient has come forward and said they would not pay for my treatment, whether it be cancer or other things, but they did say they would cover medical aid in dying.
Yeah.
Because it's a tiny fraction of the cost of what providing legitimate health care would be.
Friends, where this is going, and I'm looking at a column that was in Not the Bee. This was from December 28th of 2022. And they also reported on things within Canada. They said it's recommended veterans kill themselves instead of waiting for a wheelchair lift. You know, you can't get the medical devices you need. We will, you know, provide you the medication to take your life. It's expanded to the program to the mentally ill. Companies are advertising for assisted suicide. Churches are even having assisted suicide ceremonies taking place. Brad, it's just outrageous where this has gone. And then also we understand the Canadian Virtual Hospice, they report that they actually published a children's activity book for little kids to help them understand medical aid in dying as well.
Yes, yes. It's just a total indoctrination of society that it's quality of life, not the value and sanctity of life. You know, there was a Professor Theo Bohr. He's a member of the Euthanasia Review Committee. He was for 10 years in the Netherlands. And he said during that time, he saw the Dutch euthanasia practice evolve from death being the last resort, you know, euthanasia, to death being a default position.
Yeah.
So it is happening everywhere, and we have to be conscious of that and not have some Pollyanna thing that, oh, this is other countries, that's not involving us. Well, it is on our doorstep. It's in 10 states, and they are whittling and whittling away to make it euthanasia for anybody who crosses those borders.
Now, friends, again, we mentioned earlier about this matter of population control. We don't have enough. We're not going to have enough medical workers. And here is the article that came out from LifeNews.com April 11th. It's the president of the Belgian biggest health care fund, Christian Mutualities, has called for a radical solution to the problem of Belgium's aging population. Luc Van Gorp told Belgian media that people who are tired of life should be allowed to end it. Belgium faces a huge increase in its elderly. Over 80s will double by 2050 from around 640,000 to 1.2 million. Financial pressure on healthcare medication, nursing homes will increase. More money is not the solution. And Brad quoted that no matter how much you end up investing, it will still not be enough. Simply not enough health workers to do the job. They don't have enough healthcare centers. And then he's in favor of a radically different approach, not asking how long can I live, but how long can I live a quality life, proposing euthanasia for people who believe that their lives are complete. Suicide, too negative a term. I would rather call it giving life back. I know it's sensitive, but we really have to dare to have that debate. It's like paying it forward, Brad. I mean, that's the concept that they're using. Well, you've lived a full life, pay it forward so someone else can live a full life too.
And it's a downward spiral that is very, very difficult to reverse. And once you have lowered the price on human life, as Jack Wilkie used to always tell me, then you have a whittling away of the value of life to the point where those who are most vulnerable are going to be its first victims. But they're beginning to get into the next phases of people with autism, people with depression, people with poverty. And eventually I just can't imagine where it will end when they keep progressing to killing patients on that level.
And Brad, that you're not just, you know, giving some theories out there. This is actually going on right now with an individual, a 28-year-old woman who the doctors are looking to euthanize her. She is autistic.
Yes. Yeah. And she's living with her boyfriend of 40 who's making a comfortable living. They have a nice house and two cats. And she's depressed. So she doesn't depend upon her income to live. She's got a comfortable life, but she still wants to end her life. And that is just how far we've gone. Mm-hmm. And she's only alive today because her father has been fighting to keep her alive.
Friends, also, I mean, on the medical side of things, Brad was with us just a couple months ago as we remembered the life of Terry Schiavo, and that's just another scenario here, Brad, where you know, we don't believe people have a quality of life, so therefore it's time to put them to death.
Yes, and what they did, one of the things is they changed the definition of things. They changed the definition of giving them food and water to extra medical care. And then when you have the right to decline medical care or extreme care, food and water is in there and described that way. And every state in the union has that that legislation active.
Quick break here, friends, and we'll be back with more on this discussion today. We are vastly going down this pathway, escalating toward euthanasia. Legislation introduced, H.R. 8137, will give you that point for Congress here in just a bit. We'll be opening phone lines shortly as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network. We're speaking with Brad Mattis today from the Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org, on this topic of escalating toward euthanasia. And I know, Brad, you have resources at Life Issues for people who really want to dig into this issue and learn more, correct?
Absolutely. At lifeissues.org, we've got loads of resources. And one of those is that you can download a document that is a will to live that will help protect you should you become incapacitated. The best way to prevent that is to have somebody you love and trust that will be your voice for you.
Lifeissues.org is the website. Brad, I know in some locations as well, this is not just for adults, but they are allowing children to be put to death as well. I mean, they're doing it through abortion and so forth, but we're talking about young people who are going through disabilities or those that they would term to have, a terminal illness. They only have so much to live. That slippery slope has taken us down that path as well.
Yes, and it's very rare to even hear or see the word terminal anymore because they've gone so far past that. But just looking into euthanizing children is Belgium and the Netherlands and Canada are all looking very seriously at including children as young as 12 to be euthanized, and who could speak for themselves without their parents being able to stop them.
When does the right to die change to the duty to die?
Well, it's changed, Jim. It's changed in several countries. It's beginning to change in these 10 states. But the thing is, it's a slippery slope, and it's Satan is a slippery snake on that slippery slope, and he's very careful about how he's doing this. He's the father of lies. They're couching it in words, as you said, medical aid in dying. The president of France refuses to use the word euthanasia, but he will use medical aid in dying, and it's semantics. It's putting a soothing title on something that is evil to its core.
Yeah, indeed. Friends, we're opening our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. Taking your questions today on euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide used in some places, medical aid in dying used in other places. Again, our number 800-733-9829. But understand the trajectory that we are on from abortion, that everything is going to naturally fall into place for us to also put into place euthanasia. And Brad, there is a natural progression that euthanasia will follow abortion.
Absolutely. And I just mentioned France. They were the first nation, Jim, to enshrine the right to abortion on demand into their constitution. And within the month, Macron, stated that he would, he supported euthanasia, but since he abhors that word, they're going to be calling it aid in dying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, country after country, state after state, are following abortion on demand with introducing the right to end your life on the other end of it.
Yeah, yeah. Friends, we'll take your calls here momentarily. Brad Mattis with us from Life Issues Institute. And again, I want you to, friends, are you reading the headlines today? Are you hearing those who are saying that we are fast using up the Social Security funds, that we are going to be, bankrupt in those, that we're not going to have enough workers in the future? We've been told that, at whatever year it is down the road, that perhaps it will only be 80% payments. Those who are paid into the system that are not going to receive full, those are the things we're hearing, Brad. And so it's going to become a natural progression for, hey, we'll offer your family. Now, this is not in legislation. I'm just being, conjecture at this point, but we will offer your family a $25,000 bonus if instead of, us, providing this medical care, we will give you medical aid in dying. I mean, am I too far off from thinking that?
No, you're not. I think we're very close to that right now. And particularly in Canada, we are seeing evidence of, yes, we won't pay for your health care, but we will give you that medical aid in dying. What I haven't heard yet is that in enticing incentive of cash,
Yeah.
And the heirs, the children, the grandchildren of somebody like that, the elderly people will be told, you know, don't be a burden on us, take the cash, and then off yourself, and then we inherit that cash.
Yeah.
So it's all a scheme for money is what it boils down to.
You'll give
your conjecture, I don't think, is far off.
You'll be giving us a better life if you follow this course.
Yes.
Wow. Friends, again, let's go to these phone lines here today. We have Daniel calling from Wisconsin. Daniel, you're on the air.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank Brad Mattis for your Saturday program on VCY. They're very informative.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
And then also, I have a question. Do you think it's possible that this assisted dying can devolve into something where someone that has murdered somebody will get off because of the condition of the person they killed?
Well, I think that's a very distinct possibility, Daniel, because, for instance, they are examining, for instance, this autistic person who they are going to off with assisted suicide. They're waiting until the woman is dead, and then they investigate the death. And really, the only thing that's on the record is what the doctor who killed them wants to put on there. So, yes, there are. It's all kinds of avenues and opportunities to clandestinely kill somebody in the name of compassion and aid in dying.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Diane in Goodyear, Arizona. Glendale, Arizona. Diane, you're on the air.
Okay. Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Brad, for this information. I'm calling as a medical professional who's had a lot of hospice care in with ER, critical care in tele and ICU, and experience with my family. I'm just saying that there is hospice, which people can go into when they're really bad off and they're only alive for a day or two or three till the family can come, and they give them medication that helps them leave. Okay, then I want to state this. There's palliative hospice. That's the six-month period where Medicare pays. Medical insurance doesn't want to pay for it, but Medicare and Medicaid do. So they're trying to get rid of that because that's 6 months where a patient can be up and around, driving a car and doing everything, but they've got a chronic, serious condition that could take them any time.
Yeah.
But they're able to get around. So I'm telling you, we have to know that there's a difference between palliative, keeps people comfortable, and out in their home.
Yeah.
Okay, then the medicines. Let's talk about Sublimace real quick. That is the potent narcotic that also is called fentanyl citrate. This was always only in the hospital. The only way it's come out on the street, because it's in a glass ampule. It doesn't have a generic yet. It is a very potent medicine they use in surgery. That's what they give in surgery to put a person instantly out. They have assisted respirations going many times with that, and they just use a little bit of it until they're totally, deeply asleep, and then they switch over to a different medicine in OR. So the thing about this is Sublimace now, the name has gone from the U.S. They took it away this year. And people need to know that's a very serious, critical thing. But a lot of times they're starting to use that for hospice, getting people out of their misery.
Yeah.
So I tell you this just so everybody knows, Sublimace is an OR drug.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Diane. Appreciate that. And for sake of time, Brad, any comment there?
Well, we're talking about terminal sedation is what they're doing, and they're giving them drugs that slows their respiration to the point of finally dying, and they're calling that hospice. It is something that everybody needs to be very, very careful about if you're thinking about putting a loved one into hospice.
Thank you for your call. Let me just mention this here too, Brian. This just came out from Slate News yesterday. Several whistleblowers have provided explosive testimony during an official inquiry revealing that hospitals were euthanizing patients during the pandemic and blaming their deaths on COVID. This is coming out of Scotland. The patients were reportedly given a lethal drug combination before their deaths were listed under COVID-19 in an apparent effort to boost the number of fatalities from the virus. The bombshell testimonies provided during the ongoing Scottish COVID-19 inquiry. The independent inquiry has now been ongoing for almost 2 months, the panel investigating failures in Scotland's response to the pandemic. Troubling story.
Yes, and we saw some of that in America also, particularly with those with Down syndrome.
Yes.
And other disabilities. There's no accountability because they don't allow any family member or advocate into the hospital with them, and there's no witnesses. And I believe sincerely that several, many, many people were intentionally killed, and we call that murder.
Yeah, friends, you've heard the testimony in the interviews we've done with Scott Scherer regarding their daughter Grace with Down syndrome. Very, very troubling. That's going in litigation right now, and depositions just underway. Let's go to Randy next in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. Randy, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Jim. Hey, I just wanted to share something. I've got an older brother, and roughly 2 years ago, he was told that he only had 6 months to live. And they were pretty certain about their decision, the medical establishment. But here we are 2 years later, and his condition hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But his family sure loves having him around.
Indeed. Thank you.
And we're hearing that nonsense on both ends of the spectrum, by the way. When a couple is told they're expecting a child with Down syndrome, many doctors will tell them, oh, this child will never walk, talk, and will be in pain. You need to put them out of their misery and do the compassionate thing by aborting them. And we have heard from parent after parent who has rejected that. And in many cases, they've had a normal, healthy child. In other cases where there's Down syndrome or whatever, they have cherished that child, and that child has been a blessing to them.
So thank you.
I never take that as the end last word.
Thank you, Randy. We've got Tom next in Tomah, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air. Hello, Tom.
Yes.
You're on the air.
I was calling to say that, like he said, yes, it definitely used to be an honor. When my mom had her stroke, people complimented me on how nice I was taking care of her. She took care of me for a lot longer than I'm taking care of her.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to say was, what's your problem? It's just a postpartum abortion, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you for raising that. And really, that's how they're viewing it today. But Brad, caring for loved ones.
Yes. And it used to be, as you take them into your home, you love them and care for them as long as the Lord lets you have them. And there were no regrets in the end. And oftentimes during those end of life times, that's an opportunity for families to mend fences, to say things that haven't been said. And we have seen so many wonderful things develop and evolve during that time of death. So when you cut that short, you miss out on all that opportunity.
Brad Mattis, our guest here today on Crosstalk. A quick break. We'll come right back to more phone calls. Our number, 800-733-9829, escalating toward euthanasia. Our guest website today, lifeissues.org. You'll find many materials there. And if you miss the phone number and that bill number here in Congress, we'll be passing that on as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. D.L. Moody said, quote, I grow weary in the work, but not of the work, end quote. My friends, do you feel that way? Do you grow weary sometimes in our work and labor for the Lord, but you don't grow weary of the work? Well, this is exactly what the Lord commended the church of Ephesus of in Revelation chapter 2. He commended them for not growing weary as they were doing what? Not tolerating wicked people. They were pointing out false apostles. They were very, very patient with people. They were not tolerating wicked people. He commends them before he seeks to correct them and tells them to get back to your first love. What's your motivation? What motivates us? We might be doing the right things, but for the wrong motive. Let's continue to persevere. Let's continue to not become weary of the work, even though sometimes in the work.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis, our guest from the Life Issues Institute. He is president there, been involved in the pro-life movement for decades, many decades. And friends, we introduced to you H.R. 8173. It's legislation that's been introduced to expand, to give exceptions to our U.S. restrictions regarding assisted suicide funding, looking for taxpayer dollars to assist in suicide. You can reach out to your member of Congress, 202-224-3121. Vivian has been holding the longest from Ohio. Hi, Vivian. You're on the air.
Okay. I am a sister in Christ. I want you all to know that. And what we need to do is pray for these people. And if you know anyone, individuals talking like this, you need to go and talk to them and convince them about Jesus and love them.
Yeah.
And give them encouragement that way.
Amen.
They need it desperately.
Indeed.
And I love the Lord, and I'm looking for him to come back soon, and we ain't got, time's running out.
Yeah.
And people better wake up. It's in the Bible. He's coming back, and he does not lie, cheat, or steal.
That's
the good thing about our Lord Jesus, and he gave his life for everybody.
Amen.
And you all have a good day.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you for the call. You know, Brad, she makes a great point, and certainly we need to reach out to those who you know, are elder, living by themselves, and to be there to comfort, encourage, read to them, whatever it may be.
Yes, and what was encouraging to me, Jim, is the top reasons people give for having medical aid and dying are things that we as Christian neighbors, friends, family, or coworkers, we can deal with those in a way that can turn that around,
yeah.
And that's what we need to do.
We've got Tony calling next from Neillsville. You're on the air, Tony.
Hey, I just wanted to add a couple of points to this. That I'm glad I took my Social Security at 62 instead of waiting until later. And this is like taking a dog or a cat to the Humane Society to put it down is what they're wanting to do to us. And they won't never do this to the illegals, I can guarantee that. That's it, Jim. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And, you know, he talks about bringing the human life down to that of an animal. There's a great difference there, Brad.
There is, but more and more we're seeing we are being viewed as less than animals because
yes.
You would be thrown in jail to harm your cat or dog. But you can kill your unborn baby in the eighth or ninth month of pregnancy, mm-hmm. and it is celebrated.
We've got Jennifer calling from Oconomowoc. You're on the air, Jennifer.
Hi, I just want to talk about God's perfect timing when it comes to having a child that has Down syndrome. 7 years ago, I was pregnant with a son. He had trisomy 18. I was diagnosed halfway through pregnancy. And right away, it was stressed to me what a burden this child was going to be on the medical system. My doctors were getting angry with me. I was offered many different things, and I just put it in God's hands. And I carried that little boy all the way till his due date, and the Lord took him during labor and delivery. But I just, you know, I have such peace with that, and I know that I will be reunited with him someday in heaven. And for people that are considering taking timing into their own hands, it is the wrong decision, and you will be left with guilt that you will not be able to overcome.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good admonition there, Brad.
Oh, absolutely. She said it wonderfully because we've talked to some of those people who have chosen abortion, and they are struggling with the fact that their baby died and the fact that they intentionally ended the life of their child. You cannot get around that with semantics and soft talking. They'll do that when they talk you into choosing death, but afterward, you've got to live with that reality, that stark reality that you ended your baby's life.
And that's also true at the other end of the age spectrum as well.
Yes, absolutely so. Yeah.
Friends, we're picking up another call here. We have Lily next from Tucson. You're on the air, Lily.
Hello?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment on actually what was called like a family movie channel, that it actually had the ending of a movie was that it all ended up where it was like encouraging the people to have an assisted suicide. And there was also another movie that was about a man and, you know, a quadriplegic. And that movie ended up with, and even showed like the, like a ceremony as if, and the thing that, you know, I think of Joni Erickson Tada and the fulfilling life and the impact that she has had. And that just says it all right there. But the influence of the movie industry is profound in, and you know, making people think that this is the right thing to do when it's murder.
Thank you for the call, Brent.
Yes, Johnny Tada is a good friend of mine. We both deal with chronic and ongoing pain, and so we speak frequently. And she has a bright soul that sings even at those darkest days and nights when pain is keeping you up at night. So she has been an inspiration to everybody.
We have time for one last call, and this is Jesus calling from Glendale. I believe that's Arizona. Go ahead, Jesus, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, brothers. Yes, I agree. I believe abortion and euthanasia is murder, and it's a grave sin before God. And it tells us God's word that we should not murder.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe what you reported earlier about the condition of America, God is punishing us for all the ungodly laws and the sinful laws that are becoming in Washington, D.C. And that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. If how much, you know, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, how much more he's going to do to us?
Yeah. Thank you for your call here and observations, Jesus. You know, life comes from God, and he is the author of life. Job 30, verse 23 says, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." Brad, it's, you know, our life is in God's hand. He gives us breath, and it's of his choosing when that breath comes to an end.
It is, and we should never underestimate what the work he has for us to reach out and witness, share the gospel with others, because what we do has an eternal impact, and he's got a map laid out for us with our lives. He knows when it's time to call us home, and until then, we need to keep our shoulder to the plow and do what we can to honor God and to share his love with those around us.
Amen. Brad, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, happy to do it, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Brad Mattis from the Life Issues Institute. Again, friends, check out their website, lifeissues.org. You'll find so many different topics and matters on their site, lifeissues.org. And to reach out to your member of the House, H.R. 8173-202-224-3121. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.